Beautiful day out there. Nice to see you all here today. You know, here we are already a week since the days of unleavened bread. It seems like the spring holy days went just like that. They came and they went. Now, last week, Steve Hansen talked about the children of Israel's miraculous crossing of the Red Sea and the incredible power of God and his desire for us to follow and obey him. You know, the Israelites had their back up against a wall. In this case, you could say they had it up against the sea and the mountains that were to their back. They had nowhere to flee. They were trapped and no way out. Have you ever felt that you had your back up against the wall? Have you ever felt trapped? You see, the journey of the children of Israel out of Egypt is very similar to the journey that each and every one of us has coming out of this world, spiritual Egypt. Symbolically, Egypt represents sin, and the crossing of the Red Sea is our Christian walk of coming out of the sin and the realization that this can only occur by our reliance on God. You know, that journey is often long and filled with many obstacles. Sometimes it seems no matter what we do, where we turn, we are confronted with obstacles that seem to bar our way. Sometimes those obstacles make us feel trapped with no way out. In Exodus 14:15, God commanded Moses to tell the children of Israel to go forward. And they were finally delivered from the bondage of Egypt by God's deliverance through the divided waters of the Red Sea. You see, crossing the Red Sea truly was a miracle, and for Israel to finally leave Egypt behind required total reliance upon and deliverance from God. God tells us the same thing today, to go forward. For us to come out of spiritual Egypt, we need to rely upon God. For us to come out of spiritual Egypt, we need to forsake our ways, casting all our cares upon the Lord. For us to come out of Egypt, we too must go forward. Go forward and don't look back. You know, we as Christians face many trials as we struggle to grow and overcome this world. You know, we have troubles and trials with our jobs, maybe, or maybe it's money issues, or maybe it's with our mate, or our children, or even our fellow brethren. Maybe the struggle is with a bad habit or a fault that we are desperately trying to overcome. You know, any of these problems can make us feel discouraged. We may ask, where did we go wrong? Or, what can I do to change the situation in which we find ourselves? Often our trials come upon us suddenly, totally, unexpectedly. In James 1, verse 2, Mr. Bouchard mentioned this earlier today, but in James 1, verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall." Something totally unexpected when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's something we all need, patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. You know, sometime God needs to get our attention. We may be going along thinking that all is fine and dandy. Everything's just hunky-dory. But God knows what we need. God knows what we lack and what we need to develop. You know, I'm reminded of Lot when they were thrust out of Sodom. Another example of sin. The angels that came to rescue Lot commanded them to flee. Flee from Sodom and don't look back. Just as we are to flee from the sin of this world, and not look back. However, we know the story. You know, Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. You know, why did she look back? What was the thoughts that she had? Was she longing for the comforts of her home? Or maybe it was the family and the children that maybe she was leaving behind. We don't know. But the command was not to look back. You know, God commands the same from us. We are not to look back on our former life in the world before we were called and wonder, if only I had, you complete the sentence, if only I had. You know, we are not to dwell in the past, but rather leave it behind. It consumes our energy and makes us depressed. We're to look to Christ as our guide and go forward. We are to go forward to Christ. Sometimes it takes a leap of faith to go forward, to change. We often are too comfortable for where we're at. Growth requires change, and change is uncomfortable. We must not remain complacent where we are in our spiritual journey, but go forward as we grow and overcome with each passing year. You know, as the world continues to seek its own way by rejecting God and His commandments, the problems the world deals with become more and more difficult. It's only through the miracle of our deliverance by God that we are able to overcome the world. We read in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, have you found rest for your soul? What keeps you awake at night? What do you worry about? Do you worry about what the future may bring? You know, we must cast all our burdens upon the Lord and ask Him to carry them for us. Sometimes we need Him to carry us as well. You're all familiar with the story of the footprints in the sand. Even though we just finished celebrating the days of unleavened bread 7 days ago, we realize how hard it is to remain sinless. We had put out the leavening, but discover how hard it is to get it all out. This week, while I was eating my lunch in front of my work computer, I dropped some crumbs into my keyboard. And then I realized I hadn't cleaned out my keyboard. And you know how it is when you eat at your desk or whatever, you're always dropping crumbs on your keyboard, and they're embedded within the keys, you know, all these crumbs from all the sandwiches that I've been eating at my keyboard. You know, in much the same way, we don't often see our sins and need to ask God to show them to us. You know, these instances help us to realize how impossible it is for us to live a perfect, sinless life, and that we must totally rely on and have faith in God's saving grace to see us through. It is only faith in that grace and the shed blood of Christ that we'll obtain the reward of our promised land. We must not doubt or waver in that faith. You know, the children of Israel feared to enter the promised land. Interesting that Mr. Burchard brought that up today. After they heard the report of the spies that had returned from scouting out the land, and we read in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, "But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Now, everybody that was 20 years and younger were able to go forward, but those 20 and older died in the wilderness. They did not get to see the promised land. This is because they feared the inhabitants of the land and forgot about all the miracles that God had performed for them in bringing them out of Egypt. The Israelites feared because of their lack of faith, trust, and belief in God. You know, we have come to believe God by what we have learned through obedience, through the experiences in our life. We have proved that obeying God leads to success, while disobedience leads to failure. We just didn't wake up one morning and have the faith that needed to trust God, but rather that trust was gained through trials that we endured. We saw his hand in helping us conquer the obstacles in our way, our faults and inner fears. We witnessed healings of the sick, deliverance from trials, and answers to many prayers. Sometimes the answers to the prayers were not the result that we were looking to receive, but answers nonetheless. Through answered prayers, our trust and faith in God increased. In 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 to 4, 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 to 4, we read, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song, on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, 'The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God is of my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold and my refuge. My savior. You saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised.'" You know, these words are also recorded in the 50 verses of Psalm 18. I'm not going to read them for the sake of time, but I feel that they give great encouragement for the times in which we live. You know, our society has forgotten God. They haven't put him first in their lives. However, the events of the last few years, you know, the pandemic, the civil strife, the faltering economy, the war in Ukraine and the Middle East. Will God get the attention that he now deserves? Will we see a turning from sin and repentance in America, in the world? There's talk of making America religious again, but I don't see that happening in our society. I don't see people turning back to God. What is happening in our society can cause a lot of fear and foreboding. In Isaiah 41 and verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In verse 11, "Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them, those who contended with you. Those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing." Verse 13, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, 'Fear not, I will help you.'" You know, we're reminded of Christ's instruction in Matthew 6, 25 to 26, where Christ says that we are not to worry about our life, you know, what we're to eat or what we're to drink, nor about our body, what we'll put on, the clothes to wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And he goes on to talk about, look at the birds of the air. They neither reap nor sow or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Skipping down to verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the eating, the drinking, the clothing, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You know, God is our Father. He's going to make sure he takes care of us until the end. He will not abandon us ever. But verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first, not second, not third, not whenever I get around to it. And his righteousness, God's righteousness. And all these things, you know, the eating, the drinking, the putting on clothes, shall be added to you. There, verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, when Christ instructed his disciples before he sent them out two by two in Matthew 10 to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he told them that they were not to be fearful of men. Picking up in Matthew 10, verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. In verse 27, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, and you are more valuable than many sparrows. You know, Paul, when he was instructing Timothy, he encouraged him by noting that God's servants would suffer reproach. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 9 through 11, 1 Timothy 4, verse 9 through 11, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Verse 10, for to this end we, the servants of God, both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. You know, in this world we will suffer reproach and persecution because of our beliefs, but we are not to fear. John stated in 1 John 4, verse 17, 1 John 4, 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, we need to have the armor of God to protect us from Satan and his attacks. There is nothing more than what he wants than to catch us off guard and not prepared for his onslaughts. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, we are in hand-to-hand combat, in a sense, wrestling. Not against man, but against the principalities, Satan and his minions, spiritual hosts of wickedness. You know, have you ever been exhausted after a long day at work, as though you had been wrestling? And why you were subject to the strange actions of others? You know, have you ever felt as though a whirlwind went through your workplace and everyone's attitude was on edge? You know, the spirits of this world, they stir up people. They stir up people's imaginations. They stir up people's attitudes. Is it not because of these spiritual forces that are arrayed against us, wanting us to just give up and quit? Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What did God tell Moses to instruct the Israelites to go forward? But before that, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we just need to stand and let God work it out. Let God take care of us. In Psalm 46, in verse 1, we read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. The psalm concludes the chapter in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. There is a certain calmness that comes from trusting in God. We don't fret. We don't worry. We put our cares on him. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 12, Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is working with God to make sure that we will be made ready. He's making sure that whatever it is that we are experiencing in this life, it's for our good, and that we will be able to stand. We find ourselves, you know, at the brink of the greatest reset of human history. Many will fear because they don't know where all these things will lead. But we know the end of the story, and it's been often stated, we win. We have no need to fear or worry about what the future may bring. Jeremiah 20, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. When you call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. Yes, if we obey God with all our heart, and with all our soul, we have nothing to fear. Obedience leads to trust, and trust leads to faith. Faith leads to love, and love casts out all fear. We have much to be thankful for in knowing that God will never leave nor forsake us. As long as we put Him first in our lives and truly believe in Him, believe in His sacrifice, you know, we can't overcome by ourselves. So remember, when your back is against the sea or a wall, cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord so that you can move forward and leave Egypt behind. Go forward to Christ.